I was supposed to tell this story about how Kane had this girlfriend that he killed in a car crash. And it was just insane. And it ends up, I'm at a funeral home with a dummy in a coffin.
Oh, my God.
With Kane's mask on, pretending I'm Kane. I'm on top of the coffin having mock sex with this mannequin.
Oh, my God, no. And Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. And Vince is yelling at me, God damn it, do it harder, make more noise and stuff. It's got to be over the top.
I really did. I screwed your brains out.
There is some discussion, Bryant, that among people that I work with, that Vince McMahon and John Laurinaitis may have shared the woman simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
Like there may have been a threesome. Is that how you understood? Is that how you understood the story?
Well, not until you just said that. And then I'm like, well, you know, why not? Shit, you know.
They want to. My understanding was like, because her friend in the story was like, you know, Vince passed her to John like a plaything. Like, okay, this is how I get. You want to do Laurinaitis?
Okay. I'll be John. I'll be the asshole in VP.
Hey, John, I have a present for you.
What? What you got, boss?
It's that paralegal I've been banging. She's yours now.
Really?
All yours, John. Don't say I never did anything for you.
You're not going to watch, are you, boss?
Never. Bring me a couple of videos and we'll see from there.
Okay, well, I've been wanting to bang her for a while, so I can't argue with you on that. That'd be great.
John, you want to have
it ever now?
You want to have a threesome with me and you and your wife? I mean, the paralegal?
Can I get back to you on that one, boss?
John, we cross swords. Don't touch my penis. Don't touch it. How are you crossing swords with me? Stop it.
He'd have to warn John not to touch his thing.
Oh, my God. I wonder who else has been warned.
I don't know.
Over time.
Everybody in the WWE at some point or other. Just went around the office. Don't cross swords with the boss. If they, you know, a fun thing that we do on the show, and by we, I mean me, is I ask you from time to time, would you see a sex tape between blank and blank, right?
You're right, right, right.
Wouldn't the three-way sex between John Laurinaitis and Vince McMahon and the paralegal, wouldn't that just destroy porn? Wouldn't that take, it would kill Pornhub. Pornhub would be done.
Oh yeah. It would. Pornhub stock would just tank after that.
I'm never watching porn again. No, I can take it.
Yeah, that would be pretty brutal to watch that.
There's a lot of weird components to this. I thought one of the most interesting decisions was, hey, Mr. McMahon's going to make an appearance on SmackDown right at 8 o'clock. I don't know. I didn't see the ratings. I'm sure they got a big number because people were like, oh my God, this would be great. And he really doesn't do anything. He just comes out.
Nothing.
I just want to say, welcome to Minneapolis. WWE now, then, forever, together. Bye.
And then Rick Astley breaks out. Together forever.
Never ever going to give you up. Never going to let you down. Never going to run around and desert you.
Liar.
You bitch.
You're a liar.
I see just the story today is they settled the lawsuit with Oliver Luck. The legal team finally pounded him into the ground and said, you got to stop this. This has to stop. And he wrote a check and they finally figured out a figure.
Yeah, well, you knew that was a matter of time.
I can't believe it got as far as it did. They finally, he was trying to fuck with him on the iPhone thing, and the judge goes, just get out of my face with that. That's not going to be part of this lawsuit.
Vince was alleging, shit.
Vince was alleging that Oliver Luck had an iPhone that was paid for with company funds. Now, this is in light of things that have happened, the hilarity of misusing company funds over an iPhone and going, it seems pretty funny.
Please.
This was part of the lawsuit, the XFL lawsuit against Oliver Luck, was that he misused the iPhone for personal use. The judge immediately goes, no, that's, we're excising that from this. We'll go, well, you can bitch at him about the contract or whatever, but the iPhone is, no, that's stupid.
Petty is what we like to refer to it as.
But they were in the red zone as far as the lawsuit. They were going to start litigation this week, and all of a sudden today they come up with an announcement. Okay, we've come up with a settlement. We won't disclose the terms. I find it hard to believe that Oliver Luck didn't get a lot of his money, but he may have settled for, you know, 50% in cash, and he went off. It was $24 million.
Yeah, that's
Oliver Luck was owed because his contract was guaranteed, unlike other people when the XFL folded who got screwed.
Yeah, some of those XFL people need to talk to Bobby Bonilla, probably.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That agent had a sweet deal, but yeah. He was like,
"Here's what you do."
You can see Oliver Luck settling for like $12 million and he'll just walk away. You can see that happening, right?
Oh, yeah.
50 cents on the dollar.
Yeah.
He's the new 50 cent.
Oh, Luck.
So the story about McMahon, everybody knows about. Jerry McDevitt wants you to make sure that you know that this was consensual. The relationship between the paralegal and Mr. McMahon was completely consensual.
Okay. Although, so where does the $3 million come into play is what I want to know then.
I didn't want the bitch to talk about it. That's why.
Well, shut your mouth! Know your role! Oops, wrong one. Wait a minute, I own that too.
Yeah, you can say that.
So when you say consensual, though, when somebody, maybe they decide, I'm going to have sex with my boss. Since the person is your supervisor, your boss, it may be difficult to go, I'm going to stop having sex with my boss. See, so then the consensuality part of it becomes kind of murky, doesn't it?
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
And then the consensuality over, I'm going to go ahead and let you be with Laurinaitis now. And she's like, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that consensuality, it's starting to get some quotation marks around it about now.
It's kind of odd. Like, hey, I want you to fuck John now. I don't want you to fuck me anymore. You know, you may not feel like you have the freedom to say, I'd rather not be with John Laurinaitis, with Johnny Ace. I'd rather not be with him.
But come on. Be real. Who would say that?
But then she, you know, resigns. That was the weird part of me too. It's like, of all the people around him, like how many times has Vince handed off women to other people, and how many times has that been John Laurinaitis?
I bet this hasn't been the first time, and it probably wasn't the last.
All of a sudden, putting somebody's belongings in a trash bag and sending it back to them doesn't seem like such a bad thing, right?
No, it's moved down a couple levels for sure.
not that we stick up for Mark Carano, who happens to be that's the other thing, is like, if you're going to pass somebody off, it could have been Mark Carano, right?
All right. I didn't like you that much, so I was going to make you fuck Carano, but now I just want you to fuck Laurinaitis. Be gone. Fly and be free, child.
The whole thing obviously is very bizarre. And as they point out,
he's still a piece of shit for coming. Dude, I'm telling you, he's still a piece of shit for coming out there and doing what he did on Friday night. I don't care if he didn't say anything, just the walk out there. And then the people cheering his ass. Now, and I don't know how much of that was piped in. I've said that before on other things, so I'll say that on this. But they did pan around, and there were people putting their hands together for him. So, you know.
There was a general babyface reaction.
God, see, that made me sick. That almost made me just want to turn the shit off right there, to be honest.
There's an element of the WWE fans, the universe. There's an element of that fan base that truly feels like, hey, this is the guy that brings us our wrestling and we love him, so don't fuck with him, right?
Right.
There's an element, and I don't know what percentage it is of the people who buy tickets and watch the shows and stuff, but there is an element of that fan base, disturbingly, that's like, don't fuck. And it also is true with AEW and Tony Khan, although the roots are not as deep. People are still pretty fanatical about, don't fuck with Tony. Tony's the best. You know, you just can't criticize him at all, despite any bad behavior these people might have, right?
Right.
It's very, and that part of it is kind of Trumpian. I don't know if they would, if Vince said, go try to kill Mike Pence now. Nah! Kill it. I don't know.
See, the problem with that is if Vince told him that, they would try to kill him by putting him in, like, you know, the Iron Claw or some, you know, the figure four, and you know, even though he's tapping, no. I'm going to break your legs until they
ring the bell. Ring it.
That, to me, that was always the disturb. I mean, we talked about this. I know several years ago, we had one of the appearances that Bruce Mitchell made on here, and he goes, like, this is to a degree, there are some people who are part of the WWE fan base who are like, this is Vince McMahon, and don't fuck with him. And they've been, over the years, he's been able to tell these stories about, like, when the government went after him about it. He's a victim, right?
Yeah.
But we, you know, and we've talked about this on the Brad Britcast, and I think you're on board with this. It's like there's just a general, among the Republican mindset, there's this victimization thing. The reason that they're not able to do so well as their parents did is because of these black people or because of these brown people. And the media is always against us. And this is always against us. And that is always against us. And we won this election.
It's heartbreaking, man.
It's just such a victimization thing. And that's what Vince is able to rally his people behind. It's like, oh, it's always we're the little guy. It, even, you know, when he's going up against Ted Turner, he's the little guy because Ted Turner's a multi-billionaire.
Right.
To an extent, when they had to move off of Wednesday nights because of All Elite Wrestling, oh my God, we're the little guy. We got this billionaire son over there fucking with us. I mean, that was even part of that story a little bit.
Yeah, so, that's when they started. The shark jumping began pretty much right there.
I would say so. That was the end of the end. So another interesting part of the whole situation was when Stephanie stepped away a couple of months ago, they made sure they leaked that story out there. They goes, no. She's not stepping away because there's something wrong with the company. There's something wrong with her. She wasn't very good at her job. And now, of course, the irony is now, well, we have to bring her back because she sucks so bad. We have to put her in charge of the whole thing while Vince is gone.
Yeah, that does make so much sense, right?
Well, it's one thing to bury the ultimate warrior like a motherfucker and then bring him back. It's another thing, like, to tell Wall Street, oh, she sucked. That's why she had to go. Oh, she's back. She's in charge of everything.
Do you think he'll be back at some point?
I think this is the off-ramp where they finally sell it. I think this is going to be like, This to me reminds me of when Jerry Richardson got in trouble that last time with the Panthers, and Jerry Richardson says could read the writing on the wall and said, I'm out. I'm done. I'll see you guys later. I'll be heading to the house, and as punishment for my bad deeds, I'll take that $2 billion. Thank you very much. This feels like the off-ramp where they tell Nick Khan, go ahead, get your best deal, marshal everybody together.
Flip the switch.
I know the stock price isn't banging. It's doing okay, but the market itself sucks balls. It may be a little harder to borrow some money right now, but the intrinsics of the business, and Meltzer lays this out very well. Before, when you start the fiscal year for the WWE, you have money on the books before you sell ticket one, t-shirt one, make any sponsorship or partnership deal. You've already got money coming in. That pretty much assures, as long as you watch your costs to a reasonable level, you're going to be profitable. When you start the fiscal year at WWE, you know you got the money coming in from Fox, you know you got the money coming in from USA, you know you got the money coming in from Peacock because of that deal, and you know you got the Saudi money coming in, right? Hundreds of billions of dollars right on the books before you do any of those things that I just talked about, before you sell anything.
Mm-hmm.
So for a media company like Universal or Fox or whoever might be in the market. I don't think Disney would be interested, but any media company or somebody like that who would look into it and go, yeah, well, that's pretty appealing to me. You do a cash flow times X. They think they're going to get between $6 and $8 billion based on what USC got a few years ago. I don't know if that's what they're going to get, but to me, that's what this feels like, is like, I'm done. I'm out. Nick, get the deal done, and we'll go ahead and sell this sucker. What about you? What do you think?
I, I don't know, especially after the Friday night thing when he came out there and did that march of bullshit and spewed his shit for like 3 or 4 minutes or whatever, just to pop a rating and look like a pompous asshole. And, you know, I wanted so bad for, you know, I didn't know, I don't know about you, but when I first saw that he was going to do that, I'm like, who in the hell would do that? I mean, is he going to pull some, whatever that dude's name was, that went on live TV and blew his head off? You know, I mean, is he going to do some crazy shit like that?
Bud Dwyer was the guy's
Bud
name.
Bud Dwyer. Yes.
Bud Dwyer. The Pennsylvania people know who that is. And by the way, he was the subject of the Filter song, "Hey Man, Nice Shot." They specifically wrote that song about that incident.
Which makes that song that much more creepy.
It does, but it's a great song. I like
that song. I love that song, man. Speaking of that song, have I told you the story about that song and
X-Files? No.
Stanley's on patrol, if you can hear him in the background.
I can hear him. He must have had a good Father's Day. You guys must have enjoyed yourselves on Father's Day.
Yes, we did. We painted the town, man.
Nice.
but it was, I don't know if you saw the episode of X-Files, but there was an episode of when that song was in there. And right. I was in the house one time, and this is, you know, when X-Files is out. And actually, it was when it was in like the repeats were showing, you know, like in syndication, I guess. And I was in the house by myself, and I'd seen the episode before, and that song came on, and I really started listening to it, and it really creeped me out, man. I was like, I was ready to leave the house. That between the story on the X-Files and that song, and oh my God, it's just, I couldn't, I don't know. It was just a weird moment, man. I've never felt that way about it quite that way before when I listened to it, but for whatever reason at that time in my house in the middle of the day, nonetheless, right, it creeped me out, man. And so, yeah, maybe there was some vibes from all that coming off of it.
What's your favorite Filter song, and why is it Paint a Picture?
it's got to, well, I really couldn't name a whole lot of Filter songs other than those two. So I'd have to say, "Hey Man, Nice Shot," just because I don't know a whole lot.
Paint a Picture was also featured in The Girl Next Door with Alicia Cuthbert, which is a pretty underrated film.
Okay. I didn't know that. I remember the song.
She's in that film, and she plays an adult film actress who's trying to get out of the business.
Okay.
And she moves next door to a kid and his dad, and the kid's like his senior year in high school. And of course, she just drives him crazy with thoughts of what they would do together. And it's really a good coming of age comedy kind of situation.
Oh, okay. When was this out? Like 90s?
No, it was like 15 years ago, 15, 16 years ago.
Wow. Yeah. Totally. Oh, missed that one. But anyway, back to the Vince thing. I think you're right. I think this might be because, I mean, seriously, who at his age with that much shit to deal with, knowing that eyes are on him, you know, if I was on him before, they're quadruple on him now for shit. So why would he even want to deal with that at this age? Just sell money. I mean, realistically, how much longer does he have on this earth? You know,
why would you want
to put yourself through that?
I think this is the long game too. It's like, anyway, I thought the plan was to sell it anyway. And that's part of the reason why you have a Nikon on the board and have him in the company, because he knows all the players. He knows everybody at Fox and at Universal and at Disney and Apple and Netflix, whoever wants to buy it. I don't know whatever media company would want to invest the money in it and buy it. He knows all the players, and he would be able to put the deal together.
So basically this says that Shane and Stephanie, neither one wants this.
Well, it would be hard for them to be a part of it if somebody else owned it. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. He's selling it. I'm assuming because neither one of them want that, so he can just bequeath it to them.
Despite what they may want, they might go ahead and just take like $500 million each and be okay with that.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah, they might just.
But I guess I'm saying they just don't care about running the business. You know, they're not passionate about it enough to say, "Don't sell it, don't sell it. I want to run it." But you know, like I said, we'll give you $2 billion. Okay. Right, that's cool. You know, they don't want it that bad. You know,
I don't think that's going to be what happens. I don't think it's going to be. I think, and by the way, the thing on Friday night, didn't that feel like him saying goodbye? To me, that felt like him saying goodbye to, I mean, that may be the last time we see Mr. McMahon on television.
You may be right, man. I took that so differently, I think, than maybe you did. I just, that whole thing I just took is in your face. Here's, I'm going to pop some ratings, you know?
Well, clearly it was one of those deals where, like, obviously our podcast is named after the Katie Vick thing. And that was one of those things where nobody could stop him from doing it. I have this idea. We're going to do it. I know it involves, you know, simulated sex with a corpse, but we're still going to do this. I don't care. And nobody could really say to him on Friday, like, I don't know if this is the best idea. I don't know if you should come out there on top of the show and, you know, and nobody can stop him.
I'm sure, man.
And there,
that would be embarrassing. If I worked for that damn company, I'd be embarrassed anyway at this point. And then he did something like that, I'd be like, God dang. It's almost like I could care less about what happened. I'm sorry for the boys and the girls, but I'm to the point almost now. I just don't care. I didn't really watch SmackDown after it went off. After he went off.
But you missed a pretty good Brock Lesnar appearance at the end.
I saw the clip of it.
That was pretty good, man, with the fucking cowboy hat and shit.
Yeah, well, you know, I've always been a fan since he's come back of the cowboy Brock, you know.
It was a pretty good appearance. And he F5'd everybody within like a 20,000 foot radius of the target center.
Yeah. I don't know. Are you ready for another Roman Brock? You know,
I'll say I am. I'm a little more excited about it, obviously, than you are. They're not going to do Money in the Bank, but it looks like they're headed for SummerSlam.
That's what I figured. SummerSlam. I think Orton. I know that was kind of a rumor, but I don't think it's been a proven fact. But everything points to it being a fact that Orton was going to be the opponent for Roman at SummerSlam. And so since that couldn't happen, I guess maybe they went with Brock. I can't believe that's been the plan all along. Maybe it has been.
I don't think that has been a plan. I don't think at all. The other thing is, like, don't you think at this point, if it was under normal circumstances, they would have already just canned Laurinaitis. He'd be the fall guy for this whole thing. But you can't, because you've hired this outside firm to investigate and everything, and you can't really pretend like, okay, we can fire this guy because he's not as important as this guy, but really we can't do that because we can't say that this guy is more important than this guy. And that's why, because they both did something really bad, and it was equally bad, but under normal circumstances, we'd fire this guy because he's expendable. But the other guy, he's not expendable. Well, you can't say that now because, again, this is why you don't want to go and be a public.
I want to be a publicly traded company. I want to be right up there with IBM and Coca-Cola and McDonald's. And like,
okay, yeah, you do, because there's like a shit ton of money that's going to be flowing into your coffers. But let me tell you also what's going to happen here. If you start, you know, sticking your pen in the company inkwell or whatever it is, fishing off the company dock, you can't just write a check and send the bitch on her way. You can't do that anymore. That's not going to happen anymore. There's like a whole thing, and then maybe you use company funds, and that's a big fat no-no. And then, Jerry McDevitt can only help you out so much, and now you got to step down. You got to resign, and you're done, and I don't know. It's not good.
Yeah, you know, at some point, McDevitt would be like throwing his hands up going, I'm done. Gone. Well, bye.
McDevitt's imprint on this whole thing so far was, hey, it was consensual. Just want everybody to know it was consensual.
Okay. Well, we believe you.
And we thanks. And you know, I just attacked the fallacy of consensual. She may have said maybe one night late in the office and you know, you're having a couple scotches or something. But again,
after that,
once you start fucking the boss, you can also, most people in regular relationships go, well, I'd like to stop fucking you now. Yeah. And she may not have had that. She may have felt like she could have done that.
Yes. not really an option, as they say.
Remember that one night we had? That was pretty much a thing. That was just one night. No, I don't, you know. And then the doubling of the salary. Kudos, by the way.
Wow.
That was interesting.
Yeah. Speaking of Bobby Bonilla.
The double, going from 100 grand to 200 grand to getting passed over to the dynamic dude.
quite literally.
Hey, you belong to Johnny now. Adios.
Although this may mean that now the other part that I heard about this, and I don't know if they've been able to sync this up, that he might, John Laurinaitis might have possibly been having sex with this person while his legally wedded wife was going through a brain cancer thing. Yeah, I haven't been able to confirm that, but I know that there are some people who have tried to point out, like, hey, Mama Bella was kind of dealing with the big C while you're out there just banging it away over at the Four Seasons, at the Sheraton Four Seasons or whatever.
Yeah. God, hey. That's horrible.
Hey, let's get room service. I know you're famished after that sex. Hang on, let me call my wife first. How did chemo go? No, I'm just here watching the Chrisleys. They're in trouble too. All right, I'm going to have the $28 cheeseburger. Love you.
Click.
Yeah, let's go ahead and order some stuff from room service. I'm famished after the lovemaking. Blech. John, make sure you don't put that room service on the company tab. We want to be above board on this thing.
I'm sorry. Hold on. Cancel that order.
John, is this a $50 ice cream sundae? A $50 ice cream sundae? You son of a bitch!
It was good, boss.
Yeah. You know what else is going to be good? Me saying, you're...
No, no, no.
Listen, John, before I pass her off to you, she does this one thing where she spins around backwards. You got to get her to do that.
Oh, that sounds fun.
We call it the Ipsy Twirl.
Oh, should I call it that too? Did you put a trademark on it?
I don't know what your safe word is going to be, but mine was rutabaga.
I've always liked that safe word. I have to change mine.
All of this happened so quickly. We haven't had a chance to. We didn't discuss Jeff Hardy last week.
Oh God, yeah. Damn, busy week.
And one of the fun things about the Jeff Hardy thing, let's be completely fair and honest about this, a much more serious situation because he could have murdered a bunch of people on the interstate.
Could have the other times, yes.
Yeah, he could have because his blood alcohol level was three times the legal limit in Florida, and Florida is fairly permissible. There are a lot of details about the Jeff Hardy arrest that gets me. First of all, the bleeding hearts that are like, oh my God, they had their guns pulled on him. Have you heard some of this?
I've seen the video. I watched the video.
Oh my God, why did they have to have their guns pulled on poor Jeff Hardy? It's like, okay, all right. Well,
look, listen. If you didn't know who in the hell Jeff Hardy was, and you pull him over and he looked like he looks,
yes.
I think most people would be like, where's my gun? Let me just make sure it's here, just in case this dude looks a little sketch.
I'd just like to say the family of George Floyd on line two, they'd love to have a word with you if you think that this was just like police overreaction. The second thing, people, when they first got it arrested, they didn't have the times right, and they thought he got arrested like at 12:45 a.m. No. When they pull, it's broad fucking daylight, 10 a.m. when they pull him over.
Not midnight. Not 12:45 midnight in Alaska. You know,
I'm gonna get plowed after I have some pancakes over at IHOP. I'm gonna go ahead and just get fucked up. You know, I don't know if he stayed up all night from that little appearance that him and Matthew had or whatever they were doing, but he's drunk as fuck. And when they approach the car, he's not really putting the car kind of starts to he's not really so great about putting it in park. So you can see why they were like, oh, shit, we don't know what's going to go on. And they had their hands on their guns.
Yeah. I mean, just everything about that. I mean, it's just, come on now.
They get him out of the car, blah, blah, blah. And I have to say, one of my favorite parts of the whole thing is he's got the Jacksonville Jaguar shirt on, which I don't think is what he's
putting. Yes.
There is a point in the video, if you watch it, when they bring him over the side and they have him doing the walk of shame, where the trooper goes, "Hey, you're a Jaguars fan?" And Jeff's so out
not
of it
anymore.
Jeff's kind of like, "Ha, well, I don't know." And he can't really answer him or whatever. "Hey, Tony, here's an idea. Maybe stop passing out free swag to the boys just in case they get busted for, I don't know, murdering their entire family. I'm Chris Benoit. You may have heard of me." Or they get busted for, like, murdering an entire van full of a family. And they got your Jacksonville Jaguar shirt on, dumb shit. I love that.
Yeah, but, it, you know, at the same time, why was the cop trying to make all small talk? pulling somebody over for obviously drunk driving, and they're wanting to say, "Hey, a Jaguars fan? Hey, how's the family?"
He's trying to disarm him, you know, just kind of trying to get him, you know, relaxed or whatever if the guy's nervous. And then he was, hey, they gave him a chance.
He shouldn't be nervous. He should be used to this.
Yeah. I stayed drunk at 3 times the legal limit, dude. This is how I live. What are you talking about? I get nervous when I'm sober. I can't even deal with it.
This is just another Wednesday, dog.
I kind of felt like he was going to make the booking in Mexico. I kind of felt like they were going to go ahead and like, "Oh, I get canceled from everything else, but we're going to go ahead and use him." But then I understand Conan made the call to Tony and said, "Well, since Drunky McDrunk over there couldn't make it, can you give us one of the other boys?" And did you see who the replacement was with Matt Hardy for the match?
Yeah. It was their cousin, Johnny Hardy.
John Morrison posing as a Hardy. And he did the Jeff Hardy dance and everything. And then he was imitating Jeff Hardy so well, he got into a car and just like swerved all over the road. It was really good.
He took it to another level.
He did. He was like, "Man, I'm in character now, motherfucker. Watch this shit." No, he's not doing any of that shit. I kind of thought they would be like, "All right, in the United States, that drunk driving thing's pretty bad, but here in Mexico, we're fine with it. Go ahead and make the booking, Jeff." But no, Jeff's not.
Yeah. Jeff's didn't even make Mexico. Booking. Well, and, I don't know if you saw, but it was also nice to see that Johnny Hardy turned on his cousin, Matt, during the match to cost them the match.
Oh, yeah. No.
So that was not very Jeff Hardy-ish.
Now, if they were Bruce Prichard, if that was WWE booking, they would have Matt Hardy hold his mouth open and try to pour liquor down his throat so he could be just like them. If that was that's the kind of storyline that they would do. And man, that was the worst fight that Conrad and Bruce ever got in. Was I think Scott Hall was doing the bit with Stone Cold, which turned out to be a shitty angle. And I believe Scott Hall was on Anabuse, which is that drug that you take that if you have alcohol mixed with it, it makes you very sick.
Yeah.
And as part of the angle, Stone Cold was like splashing beer on him and stuff while he was tied in a chair. And it made Scott really sick. And Bruce, of course, defended it to the hilt. Like, "Scott never told us, blah, blah, blah." And Conrad just fucking goes off on him. Like, what is wrong with you? How could you fucking do this? And now, all these years later, you're defending it. You're stupid as fuck. And like, Bruce Prichard's like, "He never told us. We never knew."
God, shut up, Bruce.
That was the worst fight that they ever got in.
Yeah.
By far. You wonder where Bruce stands on all this stuff now, because I don't know if he's about to get fucked or fired. You know, he and Stephanie have had a bit of a strained relationship. Stephanie's also had a strained relationship with Paul Heyman, too. I don't know if you've read some of the stories about that.
I've heard.
I don't know how those gentlemen are feeling as far as job security. I don't know if she feels like she needs to make a lot of changes right now or needs to kind of just put your hand on the wheel. Just steady the ship right now.
That's probably where she stands right there.
I would say Bruce Prichard probably feels 50% less secure in his job than he did. He's undergoing rotator cuff surgery. He was telling Conrad, "I'm going to make all the towns." Well, Bruce may decide not to make all the towns. He may decide, 6 or 8 weeks off to recuperate from this thing sounds pretty, pretty, pretty good right now.
Well, I tell you, unless I was Nick Khan, I don't know if any of them should feel safe with their jobs right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. I mean, it's about time. That's why it's time to cash out. I think you're Kevin Dunn's, all those people,
all those guys. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know. You never know, as part of this investigation, they may end up taking stock options away from Laurinaitis or something like that. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he's protected at all.
If he's protected, I bet it's not much. Not, you know what I'm saying? Protected. He's only protected up to a certain point kind of thing.
But anyway, going back to the Jeff Hardy thing, obviously I hope that he gets the help that he wants. They did not say anything in AEW about it until after he had made the court appearance. Then Tony reached out to him and said, you're not going to be part of the promotion until after you go to some sort of rehab and complete the rehab process and so on and so forth.
Well, you know, I'm sorry. I still, that's great and whatever. If it, they're, you know, he did that, but what else could he do? He brought him over there without any kind of prerequisite, obviously, to go to something like that after that stunt he pulled in WWE that finally got him gone from there in that tag match.
Well, now, so, but he passed the drug test. They said even after that, even after he was acting so erratically. In that house,
you know how many people I know who passed drug tests that probably any other day of their life would not pass a drug test.
Not only did he pass the drug test, remember WWE tried to get him back before he went to AEW, and they tried to get him in, and they lured him in with the idea of possibly going to the Hall of Fame.
Well, I think he just wanted to be with Matt. I bet when you're like that, when you're dependent on alcohol or pills or whatever, both, whatever really he's addicted to at this point, I bet, you know, you probably feel more secure with somebody when you, especially with somebody like Matt that he's been traveling with and wrestling with basically all his life. So, I bet that's what it was. I don't think it had anything to do with anything else other than, you know, he was just sad, wanted to get out of there. It had nothing to do with anything else about WWE. I don't think the WWE, like what we're talking about with Vince, I don't think that he didn't give a shit about any of that. I think he was on his own little world or in his own little world and just decided he was sad, wanted to be with Matt.
Well, plus, he's probably offered a lot of money. I mean, Tony probably gave him a
probably.
Lot
well, yeah. Well, but he knew that. He knew that walking when he walked through the crowd on that last WWE match. He's walking through going, yeah, I'm probably going to go to AEW. I can get money. So, I mean, you know, but that's still, but what I'm saying, basically what I was saying earlier is just, I think I don't feel sorry for AEW because they knew what they were getting into. Tony knew what he was getting into when he signed him without any kind of, you need some help before you come over here kind of shit. You know,
do you think it's time for an all elite wellness policy, at least something?
Well, yeah. Why shouldn't there be?
Well, I think there should be, but I don't trust those guys to be. If you think the WWE system is gamed and you would have adequate evidence to think that it is for a number of reasons, not only because people who are not full-time roster members those people are exempted from the testing.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you think that the system is gamed over there, I wouldn't trust All Elite Wrestling to have any sort of system with integrity. I mean, but the point now would be like, Tony, you probably at least need to fake it. You need to at least put something down.
Yeah, that's probably what I meant more than anything. You need to try to make it look like you're doing something, even like you just, like said, it probably isn't on the up and up, just like any other one, really.
I kind of feel like Tony's going to have a meeting like before Dynamite this week and go, all right, guys, nobody drink and drive because, you know, we're in a tough time right now. It's going to make Daddy look bad. So if you guys could just not drink and drive, it'd be great. Thanks. All right, ready? Break. I feel like that's like the solution to the problem for him. Like, okay, we fixed it.
Well, I think Tony's got more problems than just that to deal with right now.
What do you think Tony's problems are?
Well, I think, well, one thing is all these people getting hurt. I mean, I know it's not really his fault per se, but it is an issue to have to deal with. Just like, you know, when you got some names like Punk and Danielson, and they've been keeping Danielson's shit really low key, but I sent something a while ago that said that he's probably not going to be ready for Forbidden Door. So, and I was like, what was this injury? I mean, was this the foot thing when he got it caught between the, that weird thing when he got it caught, you know, between the mat and the ramp or
I don't know. Cause they made it seem like that whole thing was a work. There were a lot of people that thought that was a work.
I thought that was too. And then the next thing you know, he's gone. And I'm like, maybe they're using that to cover for something else. But apparently I don't know. It's just, I was told it was a coincidence that he wanted to make it look like his foot was really hurt, but then he got concussed at Double or Nothing. So that was really what the issue is. But I don't know. It was, like I said, it was just really confusing to me, and it kind of still is, to be honest. But I'm just going to mark it off as a coincidence, because that whole foot thing, I was confused about that anyway, whether it was a work or a shoot.
They have some issues over in All Elite Wrestling right now, for sure. And you may have seen that rating that they got on Wednesday night was not good. It was one of the first. It was such an anomaly. It was one of the worst, least watched Friday nights of television on a Wednesday in 4 years or something like that.
It was least watched. It was for Dynamite, you say?
For television in general on that day.
Oh, okay. Huh. Oh, I didn't know that.
People just dipped out, and I don't know exactly. They've not been able to really explain what that whole situation was.
Wednesday, huh?
Yeah. I don't know why people decided not to watch television all in mass on Wednesday night, but.
Trying to remember what happened Wednesday night.
They didn't have the NBA game. Was the NHL game? Was that game one of the NHL Stanley Cup Finals?
Was it? May have been. It may have been. That sounds possible, but gosh, really?
Yeah, that was what the deal.
Huh.
Paige is returning home for her first post-WWE appearance. World Association of Wrestling, that is her parents' promotion. She's going to be appearing at Fightmare 4 in Norwich, England. There you go.
Okay.
She's being advertised as Soraya for the appearance. I don't know if she's going to be wrestling in it or if she's going to be shaking hands and kissing hands and shaking babies, as they say. It's one of those probably old Cornette Memphis jokes.
Yeah. He still uses that from time to time. That's a real name, though, right?
Soraya.
Soraya. Yeah.
Speaking of drunk Florida, Tammy Stitches.
I need to say it like Tennille. That's a real name.
That's a real name.
That's a real name.
Do you remember when we were talking about we were talking to Tennille when we were down in Concord and she was getting ready to wrestle Rachel Ellering like the next day in Pittsburgh? And I went, "We like Rachel a lot. It's okay if you beat her, but don't hurt her." And Tennille goes, "Come on."
I remember that.
Come on. Yes. That's when she made her debut. That's when she did her debut.
Yeah, that was at the same time when she said. I said, what was it I said to her? I love Tennille. I said, but you really look more like an Emma. And she goes, Tennille's my real name.
Tennille's my real name.
Tennille's my real name.
Tammy Sitch's lawyer has asked the court to withdraw her as her legal representation. Speaking of,
I would too.
Speaking of drunk drivers in Florida.
parallel.
According to PW Insider, Stephen De La Roche filed the motion on June the 16th. Like, lawyers will pretty much work for anybody, get paid for anything, and for him to go, "Nah, I'm out. I'm done." An impasse has been reached in the handling of the case, making it impossible for the client and attorney to continue to work cooperatively on the case. To me, that sort of means she's not paying me to. That's also one of the big problems. That's why you can't get a lot of really good legal representation for Donald Trump right now, because he just doesn't pay the lawyers, and lawyers tend to want to get paid.
I've heard that. And I've heard lawyers like to get paid.
Word gets around among the lawyer community, like he doesn't pay us. And they're like, "Well, okay, I'm not gonna work for him."
Sounds like somebody else.
This is bullet point number two. The client has not complied with the terms of the employment agreement with this attorney. There you go. The client will not be prejudiced if the undersigned is permitted to withdraw. Sitch has been charged with one count of DUI manslaughter, one count of causing death while operating a vehicle with a suspended license, three counts of DUI causing property damage, and four counts of DUI causing personal injury. Jeff Hardy has volunteered to be a character witness for her in the trial. No, that's not true. That part I may know.
God dang, that sounds so much like him, minus the killing of somebody, but I hate to say it, but that's bound to happen if he keeps it up.
It could easily have happened. I mean, sure.
And it really probably should have happened at some point in one of those, and somebody just got lucky.
10 o'clock in the morning, dude, and you're wasted weaving around traffic, and they're getting like 4 911 calls on you.
Dude, that's like low life drunk shit, you know?
I mean, I'll say it. It's one thing to be drunk at 2 o'clock in the morning, like at the Spearmint Rhino or whatever in Vegas. But if you're on the I-95 and they're like, where were you headed? I'm in North Carolina. What were you doing? I was getting a head scan, brain scan thing.
Oh, okay. Cool. Good evening.
You're like several hundred miles from North Carolina, right? Yeah, North Carolina. The other thing about this WWE situation,
yeah,
is it's exposed that Vince and Linda McMahon may no longer really be man and wife anymore.
You're kidding? Really?
Well,
you think they have the Rob Petrie beds, you know,
the separate beds, no, separate houses, separate zip codes, separate area codes.
Oh, they took it up a notch. Okay, separate. They went beyond beds.
I'm positive they haven't been together ever since she was working in the Trump administration in early 2017. I know it goes back at least that far, so it's been at least 5.5 years. But I think they were probably not living in the same house for maybe a while before that.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
After I spent all that money to get that bitch elected to Senate in Connecticut twice! 2 times, Linda! You suck! Go back to Havelock!
Hey, boss. God, is she available for me?
You don't want any of that, pal.
You don't want any of that. She's like a mother figure to me, but still.
Yeah. She's all yours. I got no claim on her.
Oh, thanks.
You gotta give me some equal compensation, though. I'll take a bag of M&Ms.
With peanuts!
I'm on it.
This is the Next in Line program from WWE. They announced their people on that one. Did you see it?
No.
They got a girl from Elon in there. There she is.
Really?
Erica Link, a volleyball player. He calls it Elon College. Do you know why Dave Meltzer would call it Elon College?
Because he has no clue.
He's going back to the Don Kernodle days, because that's where Don Kernodle went back when it was called Elon College.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
There was a time, and people don't know this. This is like, again, this is like inside area stuff to us. There was
like High Point College.
Very much. Elon College, High Point, they were pretty different. I mean, they're pretty similar back in the day. Elon College for a number of years was near Burlington, North Carolina, where Cameron Grimes is from. Not really.
Yes.
and it was a lot of local kids would just go to Elon. Like a lot of the kids from Burlington would like graduate from the 2 or 3 high schools in the area, and they would just go on to Elon. It's not like that anymore. I don't think you can find a local kid from one of the high schools at Elon University, home of the Phoenix. I don't think you could find a local kid there. Same thing with High Point. You saw like the place used to be lousy with like High Point kids and Guilford County kids and stuff like that. And now it's like Elon is a school for, if your parents are like super rich, mostly your mass holes, but also some people from like Jersey and places like that, and your kid's pretty smart. High Point is like if your parents are like super rich from up north and your kids are stupid and they can't get into like a really good school.
This is how
ridiculous the stories are. They have like this meal plan at High Point University, and there's a 5-star like steakhouse on campus as part of the meal plan. And they used to have soft serve ice cream like on the corner. The kids used to go up and grab soft serve ice cream. They're the most spoiled kids ever. When I was driving Uber and Lyft over at Elon, I would be like, why are you making fun of the High Point kids? You guys are the same thing. And the kid goes, yeah, we may be rich, but we're not stupid. And I went, touche.
Oh, put it right on out there.
It is true. Allie Maddox also was signed as the Next in Line. She is a blonde cheerleader from University of Mississippi.
Okay.
and I've got my eye on her. John, here comes your next hand-me-down.
Oh, you think she'll get up in time, boss?
I'm going to go throw this one in the hopper for 2025.
Well, I just want to make sure we're still around when she's available for
we're not gonna,
us.
Well, she's from Mississippi. We can convince her we're still part of the company. It's fine.
Good point.
Rachel Glenn, who was a 2021 NCAA champion in the high jump, 6 feet tall track athlete from the University of South Carolina.
So they're going for like the Bianca Belairs and Jade Cargills now, man. You know, these
It's usually freakish dudes and hot chicks. That's what the next in line program is at this point. That's what they're going for. But I don't think it's going to be, you know, mating season for Vince anymore. I don't think that's going to happen anymore. That's going to be something that's not going to – those are going to be times of the past.
That was weird.
I know.
Hold on, man.
What happened to you?
I can't hear you. Hold on.
Oh, get your buds in.
That was crazy. My mic just fell and yanked my earbuds out.
Same thing happened when I was with the paralegal. We were going crazy, and she had some earbuds in to try to make her distracted from the idea that she was having sex with me.
You know, that's funny. I did that too.
It's weird. I think she was listening.
I made her listen to Wham.
Because I was whamming her. Here I go. Wham, wham, wham. Do the jitterbug. Wham, wham, wham. Wham, bam. I am a man. Don't tell me I'm not. Just look at what I've got.
Oh, my God. Yeah, what other podcast gives you Vince McMahon doing the wham rap, motherfucker?
Motherfucker!
Show me. Show me.
Nobody plays the wham rap anymore, man.
God dang. I don't even think 80s on 8 plays that.
It's a good song. Nothing wrong with it. Oh, wait a minute. I got to look at the impact. I was going to talk about the impact because Slammiversary looked pretty dope. Did you see the results?
No.
It looked like I was like going to be at home, and then I was got surprisingly some more overtime. I was thinking like, really, should I do, should I go ahead and order this for $40 or, but then I got called in, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, that was your answer.
That was the answer right there. God telling me, don't waste your money. Although you saw that Dixie made an appearance, right?
No.
Yeah, it's true. Dixie came on in that final match. They had the TNA Originals against whoever.
Yeah, the people from ROH.
And then they announced like the last participant, who was Davey. So she announced Davey.
Okay. He was in MLW. I actually watched some MLW this past weekend, dude.
Who did you see on MLW?
I saw your boy, Jacob.
Jacob Fatu. Oh, my God.
He's getting ready to go downtown to Chinatown with that Bruger, Mads Bruger or something.
Is that a good feud? Sure. Is that going to be a good feud?
It looks like it. It's going to be like, I forgot what they call it, but it's basically a anything goes kind of match. So,
How is Jacob Fatu like not getting the respect that he's due from wrestling? How is that not happening? Jeff Cobb, I think, is making a lot of money over in New Japan, at least.
Yeah. He's hot. Not? He's got tag title with that guy, Cobb.
Yeah. But those two guys, and then another guy we're going to mention here in just a moment, who's like, to me, like the guy who's coming hard. The pregame match was the Digital Media Championship, and Rich Swann defeated Brian Myers. There you go.
Okay.
Reverse Battle Royal, Shark Boy ends up winning it. Among the people that were involved in this match, Johnny Swinger, Crazy Steve. This was the good one. And this harkens back to our 2010 foray into Charlotte. The original Flyer, Action Mike Jackson, at 72 years old, made an appearance in this match.
Nice.
Yes. The original High
Harry Flyer. Chest and all.
He's the greatest. This is the one that I would have paid for mostly. X Division Championship on the line. Andrew Everett, fantastic, of course. Alex Zane, Kenny King, Trey Miguel, Ace Austin, and to me, the guy who is the hottest ticket on the indie wrestling circuit right now, Speedball Mike Bailey. That guy to me he's unbelievable. After those visa issues and everything else, I think this guy is fucking tearing it up right now. You know, this is one of those things where you kind of wish, hey, if Tony's got a little couple extra bucks hanging around and he wants to add 50 more people to the roster, Speedball Mike Bailey would be, he would fit in so well in AEW. He could have great matches with about 100 different people on that roster.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. There, you know, there's actually two or three guys, I think, right now in TNA or Impact that could roll pretty well with the dudes over in AEW.
Rosemary and Taya Valkyrie winning the Knockouts World Championships over Tennille Dashwood and Madison Rayne.
Wow. Go. I saw Taya on MLW. She won the initial featherweight women's championship.
Nice.
For MLW.
Sammy Callahan defeating Moose. I've grown cold on Moose after being high on him about 5 years ago.
Yeah. Why have you grown cold on him? I'm just curious.
A lot of it's got to do with the stuff I'm hearing from behind the scenes about what a dick he is and stuff like that.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
I think he's only got like about two offensive moves anyway.
Pretty much.
Impact World Tag Team Championship. See, this would have been another great one. Good Brothers do beat the Briscoes and win the World Championship.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Afterwards, America's Most Wanted toasted the tag team division with Impact. They did their voting on who were the most impactful single stars and tag team stars.
Mm-hmm.
And AJ Styles was the guy, obviously, who was like the most impactful guy of their 20th year anniversary. But they said the Motor City Machine Guns were the most impactful tag team.
I don't know.
I would have gone with AMW. Would have been it for me. I mean, or you would have thought maybe Beer Money or Aces and Eights or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, Motor City Machine Guns were good. I mean, and all that.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not denying that. But I don't know, man. I'm with you. I'd have picked them maybe third.
After the match was over with the Good Brothers, they America's Most Wanted came to the ring and toasted the Good Brothers and the Briscoes. Impact honoring the broadcast duo of Don West and Mike Tenay. There's going to be a link on this podcast as to how you can help support Don West and his battle against lymphoma for that GoFundMe. One of your all-time favorites, Christy Hemme, handling introductions for the next match.
She can handle anything of mine.
What was the t-shirt? I'd rather be riding a Hemi. Is that what they... that was a great... The Impact originals, Chris Sabin, Alex Shelley, Frankie Kazarian, Nick Aldis, and Davey Richards defeated Honor No More with Eddie Edwards, Matt Taven, Mike Bennett, Vincent, and PCO. I bet that was a good match.
Yeah.
There was the AJ Styles video message. Kurt Angle also filmed a message for them.
Okay.
And Queen of the Mountain for the Knockouts Championship, Jordynne Grace. There you go. She is your new champ.
Good.
She is your new champ, beating Maya Yim, Chelsea Green, and Deonna Purrazzo, and Tasha Steelz.
That's good. Good for her, man. I'm glad. I'm glad she got that.
She's had a really good run. She and Rachel were fantastic together as a tag team, and she's just been kicking all the ass, man.
Yeah, she looks fantastic.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so definitely.
Strong as fuck, man.
God dang. Yeah, I don't know, man. She just like she could do like Mark Henry kind of shit, you know.
You want to see her butt? I guess she's got an OnlyFans if you'd like to see her butt. I don't think she does like full nudity or whatever, but
Rachel does too, man. I don't know what all Rachel might.
I'm not sure what Rachel does, man. But you know, I bet it's adorable. Whatever it is,
adorable. Yeah.
Whatever and the Impact World Championship, Josh Alexander retains against Eric Young. There's your.
I was scared that they were going to put it on Young just for posterity's sake.
Yeah, I think hopefully they're done with that. And I love Eric Young, but
I do too. And I didn't mean to say it like that, but
What is your favorite moment from the 20 years of TNA, and why is it the Dubs?
Well, I'll answer the second one first. Because it's the Dubs.
Because it's the Dubs. Because anything that Vince Russo comes up with that's that good.
Yeah, you got to respect it. I can
never shit on the Dubs because of Otto Schwanz. Because, you know, Otto Schwanz he's great. I mean, he's a fucking great worker. He's the, and again, maybe in the Carolina Indy Hall of Fame.
Gotta be. Is he one of the he's greats. From around there? Is he a Burlington dude?
I think he is. Remember. Yeah, I think he's from around the area. I mean, he's killer. The dude's awesome.
Otto, big Otto. Yes. I did see MLW. Another match I saw was a cool triple threat match between, I see what the tag teams. It was the Von Erichs.
Oh, yeah.
And Hustle and Power. One guy looks like Tim from Firestar Pro Wrestling, TIM.
Oh, wow, really?
I don't know if it's him or not. I wanted to look it up, but I could. And then I can't remember the other tag team, but what was in it? I should. But the Von Erichs, man,
they're tough.
God damn, they're all. Awesome.
They got a great look to them.
They do, man.
I was thinking work. I mean, but they're good.
They are, and they're pushing them pretty hard. I think they're getting ready to get the belts back. As a matter of fact, I think they're going to be in. They are going to be in their next pay per view. Because I tweeted to Marshall, and I said, "Man, this looks hot." And
it's gonna be good.
Yeah, so
we need to push the idea of the Carolina Indie Wrestling Hall of Fame. I love that.
Why is that not a thing?
I don't know. Champagne Marty Garner needs to be the first guy inducted, and then Converse. Those two need to go in together.
Yes. And like Les Thatcher.
Oh, geez. There's some good shit in there.
The Crockett's.
All right. You want to? You got any final thoughts? We're gonna wrap this thing up.
Oh, we're gonna wrap it up. Okay.
Wrap it up.
Is that me too, boss? I have to wrap it up.
Should keep that rascal wrapped.
I'm just getting started.
Bryant is available for your social media pleasure on Instagram, also on the Twitter machine. It's Bryce Sports, BRY Sports. He's also on TikTok, Stanley Jackson 23. I am available on Twitter, Britt Whitmire, BRITTWHITMIRE. The show proper is at Katie Vick Alive. And I'm also available on Instagram, BDub for Reels, BDUB number 4, REELZ. If you like what we do and you want to support what we do, shop at our Amazon store. We've got Prime Days coming up. I think it's July 12th and 13th, but you check me on that. I do know that our website for Amazon is katievick.com. That's our Amazon store, katievick.com. So check that out. Until next time, fans, we'll see you ringside.
Fans, that'll do it for this week. See you next week. And until then, so long for now.